I heard you on the wireless back in 52. Lying away intent on tuning into you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through. Oh. They took the credit for your second symphony. Rewritten by
machine and new technology.
And now I understand the
problem
you can't see.
I met your children. What did you tell
them? Video.
Radio Star.
The simple truth about the love. she breathes to me. Where do I start? Like a summer rain that cools the pavement with a pink leather shine, he came into my life and made the living fine and gave a meaning to this empty world of mine. Can love be measured by the hours in a day? I have no answers now, but this much I can say. I'm going to need him till the stars all burn away, and he'll be there. Can love be measured by the hours in a day? I have no answers now, but this much I can say. I'm going to need him until the stars all burn away, and he'll be
sights on the Hollywood sign. All night parties do without. All the famous friends and their ego trips. Cocktail parties and standard hotel. Something down plans on a half shell. All the record shopping on Melrose. Dancing all night in our prettiest clothes.
Score. Greetings. Hey, my name's Queen KV. This is my show. It's Queen KV getting digital here on your computer. Alright, let's get to take care of some business first. We had some fabulous tracks in the mix. That last one was by Adult off of their album DUME. The name of the song was Hold Your Breath, also on a more dancey vibe. Everyone is Someone in LA by Felix the Housecat off of his album Devon Dazzle and the Neon Fever. Shirley Bassey's something old school there. Where Do I Begin? Off of her remix album. And finally, Video Killed the Radio Star, a Dictionary Oki version of that, with the voices, the vocals composed of the pronunciations you can find on the Merriam-Webster website. So they have a bunch of tunes there that you can check out, done Dictionary Oki style. That's the style there. Okay, so this show is basically going to be about music. Also some old radio pieces I edited and produced back in my time at Berkeley, because, you know, I think they're interesting pieces. So, well, on top of that, it's kind of neat to look back on what was the news and the issues of, you know, back in the day. Webcasting was still a pretty contentious issue for college radio stations across the United States, especially with the whole licensing thing. You know, webcasting wasn't being treated like broadcasting on the radio, and so there was a new price scheme, and college radio stations were just struggling to get by. So here's a story with interviews from college radio station managers talking about the whole webcasting thing. Not just about the money aspects, but also just in terms of this new expanded audience that's from all over the world. So, here we go. While Mark was in San Antonio, Texas, he recommended for us to check out San Antonio College Radio, KSYM 90.1 FM. Thanks to a webcasting stream off of KSYM's website, I caught a slice of that station's broadcast without ever leaving the Bay Area. KALX Radio has email responses to its real audio stream from other parts of the world, the United Kingdom, Japan, Norway, Guam, Spain, France, and Germany, to name a few. For KTRU in Texas, and just south of Berkeley, KFJC in Los Altos, these stations have also made contact with other countries.
We've had website visits from around the world. I mean, it's number of station countries is, you know, something like 90 or more than that. I stopped counting a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Any countries you can name off the top of your head?
Well, yeah. Actually, for a while, we were able to, like, sort of keep a map where we would put pins in the countries that we got responses from. And one of the key things we got responses from was our fundraising surf CD compilation. And we got orders from that, like, you know, several places in Europe. We have a guy in New Zealand who, like, is an addicted listener. I mean, like, he has this on, like, several hours a day, I think, in a store or something in New Zealand. And I know we've gotten some from South America, from Canada, Hong Kong, and I'm trying to think of any others that are big that come to mind. That's the ones that I recall offhand.
In addition to outfitting a station signal with streaming capabilities through technologies like Real Audio, Winamp, or service like Live 365, webcasting has expanded the world for listening audience members who tune in to college radio stations. A new agreement reached between college radio stations and the Recording Industry Association of America, or the RIAA, will allow stations to keep their webcast streams running for a price. Plus, college radio stations will have to modify their programming to match the content regulations specified in the legal language of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
I think we were sort of like an anthill on a construction site. They may have been vaguely aware of our existence, but we certainly weren't their priority. And I think all of the other stuff that was done before was them aiming at the deeper pockets, the you know, where the money was. They really, I don't think, considered college radio as that much of either a problem or an income source or a potential loss or anything. I think they were looking mainly at the commercial webcasters, in formulating the rules that they did, and it just so happens inadvertently it would have bulldozed college radio. Plus, I think they were still pissed off at Napster and the money that they perceived they lost from that, and they were being very proprietary about not wanting to let anything out of their control and to try to, you know, get the maximum amount of royalty returns from it.
Doc Pelzel is a station supervisor of KFJC 89.7 FM in Los Altos. This UC Berkeley alum had KFJC join other stations in a grassroots campaign to save college radio streams from the first round of financial regulations that could have brought down college radio webcasting. Another college webcasting advocate is Will Robody, the general manager of Rice University's KTRU 91.7 FM. He is also the vice chair of the Collegiate Broadcasters Incorporated, and he has participated in the roundtable discussions on the record-keeping requirements with the Copyright Office and the negotiations on the webcasting fees for college radio stations.
For the non-commercial or the non-profit stations, there are essentially two options. One is to accept the rate set by the Copyright Office, or to opt into the agreement that was signed on May 31. The rates for the Copyright Office under the Librarian's rate determination is 0.002 cents per song per listener, with an annual minimum fee of $500 per year.
Mm-hmm.
So for a licensed college station, the station could not exceed roughly 21 average simultaneous listeners before exceeding that fee. For a college station that didn't have an FCC license, if they had on average of about 5 simultaneous listeners, they would exceed the fee.
Okay.
Under the settlement, unless a school or a station has an enrollment of greater than 10,000 students, the fee for 2004 will be $250 if they have a single stream. If they exceed that enrollment cap of 10,000, then they'll be paying $500. And under both of those figures, they will be allowed to have up to 200 average simultaneous listeners.
According to Pelzel, a major problem with webcasting fees stemmed from the misunderstanding of the Copyright Office and the RIAA of how college radio operates.
Well, and I'm not even sure that they realize that, you know, that the college stations don't act like commercial stations. If commercial stations, everything you hear has been ripped from a CD, and so it has encoding in it, and there's be a way to make a record of that encoding. In fact, now they monitor airplay, so you have for the trade journals, you know, they give the number of spins. Well, they can count that there's 113 spins of this song in a week because they have monitors in major markets of stations to, like, tick off every time a certain song gets played. At non-coms, they actually physically take, like, a piece of vinyl and put it on a turntable and play it live with a human being doing it, and that's beyond the grasp, I think, of RIAA that happens.
Elizabeth Rader, an attorney and fellow for the Center for Internet and Society, joined in the legal struggle over webcasting fees for college radio and non-commercial stations after hearing a report on NPR.
Just about the week before I started this job, on June 20th, the Librarian of Congress announced his final decision on what royalty rates should govern the licenses that pertain to webcasting. And these royalty rates were very high, as you probably know. And I heard about it on the radio, and I thought, this is an important case, and somebody needs to help particularly nonprofit and college webcasters. So when I started this job, I just started calling around to see if anyone needed any help, and got in contact with a group called Collegiate Broadcasters, Inc., or CBI, which was doing a lot of grassroots organizing around the issue. And I just offered them our legal services on a pro bono basis.
Webcasting is a recent phenomenon, but copyright has been around for quite some time.
Well, I'd say the precedent would be when, in the late 70s, the copyright law was extended to cover nonprofit organizations and universities and colleges. Up until that time, non-commercial stations hadn't had to pay for terrestrial broadcast royalties that all the other commercial stations had to pay for.
It used to be that copyright didn't include the right to transmit, the exclusive right to transmit a recording over the Internet. You might think that sort of goes with copyright, but copyright's really about making copies, not so much about playing records. So when the internet became more important in the late 90s or in the mid-90s, they added to copyright a specific provision that says when you have a copyright in a record or a CD or, you know, a recording of a single, part of your right is the right, the exclusive right to make these digital transmissions. And then they decided that since it isn't practical for webcasters to negotiate with all the millions of copyright owners of the various recordings that they want to use, they said there should be a compulsory license, so you don't have to ask permission before you make the transmission. But you, if you're a webcaster, you have the right to do it, but you're going to have to pay a royalty, and we're just going to set that royalty at a one rate for the whole industry.
This whole process started in 1998 when Congress passed the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And pursuant to that act, there was a time period for the copyright owners and the services to come to negotiated settlements, of which there were very few. And because of the lack of an industry-wide settlement, the Copyright Office began an arbitration process known as a CARP, which is a Copyright Arbitration Royalty Panel. And in the arbitration process, there were a number of parties that were represented, but no one specifically represented college radio. There were representatives for public radio in terms of NPR, and also the religious broadcasters in terms of the National Religious Broadcasters Association. But there was no representation at that time for college stations, and even the non-commercials that were there, according to the CARP report, didn't present a lot of information for setting a rate for the non-commercial stations.
Another major challenge that has been temporarily averted was the record-keeping requirements.
They haven't made any distributions to artists, certainly yet, and I know that they're having a really difficult time deciding how to distribute the royalties that they have collected, because part of the issue is that webcasters haven't been keeping very good track of exactly what they played and when, because they didn't realize that they had to. So especially with college stations, there just hasn't been any record keeping or hasn't been very, very good record keeping over the past 4 years.
I wouldn't even say reasonably close, but there was a service out there claiming to be able to do it for $100 a month. And, you know, when a station is having trouble coming up with $500 to pay the minimum fee, to pay another $1,200 for the record-keeping portion of it, it's kind of out of whack. That's one of the problems with the CARP process as it is now, is the rate-setting process was done by the arbitration panel, and the record-keeping process was done by the Copyright Office itself. And the way the rates were structured, it required record-keeping that was beyond the means and would cost more than the license itself.
Well, I don't think really any non-commercial station is ready for the record-keeping requirements, and I think that's because they were designed by the RIAA to do almost like market research for them. I mean, the amount of data you had to have, and especially about the listeners, was almost designed to tell them how many listeners they had to what kind of stuff and when and all that, and it would actually have done a lot of market research for the major labels. The record keeping that KFGC could have done, which is the record keeping we tried to ask, you know, for through the organization that we, you know, file the appeals with and all that, was pretty much what we were already doing, which was the name of the song, the name of the group, the name of the album, and maybe the record label. But again, we were doing that already. In fact, we already post that on our website going back to 1996.
College radio stations will also have to adapt their programming to match the webcasting content requirements.
There's a portion of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act that refers to what's called the Sound Recording Performance Complement. And under the Sound Recording Performance Complement, a station may not play in any 3-hour period more than 3 songs from one recording, may not play more than 2 songs from the recording in a row. They may not play in any 3-hour period more than 4 songs from one artist, and they may not play more than 3 in a row from an artist's box set.
content regulations.
Yes, the content regulations.
You can't do it more than X number of songs from a box set, correct, time period or whatever. That's a dicey one because that's not part of this deal that just came out. That's part of the initial congressional act. So isn't even on the table to negotiate without going to Congress. And boy, is that a tooth pull because, KJC, for example, we do a lot of special programs on, you know, individuals or record labels or time periods or scenes or songs or whatever. And we usually do it during May. We have like a whole 25 or 30 of these, anywhere from 2 to 12 hour programs. We're doing one this coming weekend on Throbbing Gristle, a 24-hour Throbbing Gristle sort of retrospective and interviews and all that kind of stuff.
You're listening to A Day of Gristle on KFJC, Los Altos Hills.
And the content regulations conceivably could stand in the way of that. Luckily, most of the groups that we do specials on provide us with extra material to use to do the specials. So in essence, we've got an agreement with them that it's okay that we use their stuff in this fashion. Okay, but I can see for colleges that wanted to do, like, you know, specials on major label artists, how they could run into a problem with this because the major labels are the ones that have the protection for the content regulations.
On KTRU's website, Robidoux has posted information on H.R. 1417, legislation proposed to make it affordable for other entities to comment on copyright regulations.
Station participants were ringing up to arbitration bills alone in excess of $300,000, not including their own costs. And that was very prohibitive to the nonprofits to participate in an arbitration process. And what this legislation does is it removes the cost of the arbitrators from the process and changes some more finite points in terms of how the arbitration is conducted. But the most important part is it lowers the barrier for entry.
Yes, that reform bill would eliminate the CARB system and replace it with an administrative judge or judges. I think the current proposal is for 3 copyright royalty judges. So the Library of Congress would just find people who are well qualified, who had a lot of experience with copyright, and I think with copyright in the relevant industries in particular. And then those administrative law judges would be paid by the Copyright Office, and the Copyright Office budget would be expanded to cover their salaries.
College radio stations have so far worked out an affordable pricing plan for webcasting rights. At the moment, stations like KFJC plan on waiting until just before the October 15th deadline to opt in on the new agreement with the RIAA, just in case anybody has anything else to add to the webcasting regulations.
Coin-operated boy, sitting on the shelf. He is just a toy, but I turn him on, and he comes to life. Automatic joy, that is why I want a coin. Operated boy, made of plastic and elastic, he is rugged and long-lasting. Who could ever, ever ask for more? Love without complications galore. Many shapes and weights to choose from. I will
so, but I'm still convinced.
like a boy should feel. Isn't that the point? That is why I want a coin. Operated boy with a pretty coin. Operated voice saying that he loves me. Ladies thinking of me. Straight and to the point. That is why I want a coin. Operated boy.
Alright folks, you're currently grooving to Air on my little podcast program. This is Queen KV Getting Digital. This particular track is Alone in Kyoto, and it's off of the Lost in Translation soundtrack, the one that starred Scarlett Johansson and Bill Murray. Fabulous movie. Go see it if you haven't done so already. It is on DVD. And before that, the Dresden Dolls doing Coin Operated Boy with their self-titled album. Also a fun track. And alright, so my name is Queen KV. It's my first podcast show. Hope you liked it. Hey, if you want to find out more about what's going on, I got a blog, brain.queenkv.org. You can also check me out on actual college radio. I do DJ at a Claremont College radio station, KSPC. They have a live webcast at kspc.org, so, you know, if you like that, it's cool. Check out the blog, brain.queenkv.org, and hey, I'll see you folks next time. Thank you.